I was just in the training room talking to Pepper Burris. Greg is obviously delayed going out to Philadelphia because of the storm. Exactly when he will go, that has not been determined yet.
Are you sticking with the run a bit more than you have in years past, even when it's not working, do you feel?
Not really. I mean, I think every game, I know every game that I call is really its own entity. I look at, our cell scout from prior weeks. I even have a chart on my call sheet that's the last thing I look at before I go out on the field for game day, just to see what my last third 1-5 call was, the last three games or the last four games. What was my first red zone call in the plus 30 to the plus 20, the last four games. What was the defensive coordinator's call in those same situations? So I think every game is its own entity. Like I said, I don't sit there and look at percent. I don't ever check run pass percentages anymore. I used to. We play off the offenses today. I feel are different. I think mindset of how you approach the game and the resources and the information and the ability that you give your quarterback and your offensive football team is a little more versatile than, lining up and just running it or throw it. Now, that's still part of the game. Don't get me wrong. We're not like absolutely the extreme, but there's a point in every single football game I think you need to buckle down and run the ball. That's a philosophy of mine. I feel I've called games that way my whole career. But as far as what I've done in the past, you would probably know better than I would. You can go back and look at if you want to go look at if you want to do it by numbers, you do it by the numbers. But I would not say that that's my mindset.
How do you feel about the lack of explosive runs, Mike?
Well, we're talking about yesterday's game is really lack of explosives, period. I mean, we did not hit our goal yesterday. But yes, I mean, short yardage runs are an excellent opportunity for big runs. And I felt that we almost had the opportunity there where, Alex was one-on-one with the safety on the run blocking, and it gives the back the opportunity to be one-on-one with the safety. I mean, those are the type of runs you look for. So, frankly, right now, we got to do a better job of making the 2 and 3 yard runs hard 4 and 5 yard runs. And that's a common theme in our offensive meetings the last couple weeks. So we need to start attacking the apex and going to get a hard four. That's what, hard 4 or 5, particularly early in games. So we are working on that.
Mike, you have long talked about availability and accountability. Has that held James back, and has he done some things maybe to
James Starks?
Yeah, does that make him a little more appealing now?
Well, I think there's a combination of James Starks' reps, what they are to this point. The first would be availability. The second is frankly, Alex Green has earned this opportunity to carry the football. And I've liked what I've seen in his limited time when he was working behind Cedric, which obviously made Cedric the feature back. I think it's important that you talk about giving a runner or a thrower, a number of reps to get into a rhythm. You're able to get a runner over 20 reps, you expect to be in a rhythm. Now, Alex was not, that was not his best game yesterday, and he's seen the film, and I think the corrections for a young player will definitely be applied as we move forward. But James will probably be given more opportunities as we go through the week. But there's a number of different factors that are involved in that. And the biggest one is Alex Green has earned these opportunities.
Was Starks a little because he missed practice on Thursday too? Was that
he did miss practice on Thursday because he was sick. So that didn't help it. And I don't know how much you notice at practice, but practice was a little different this week. Our numbers were down, and Wednesday we lost two players in during practice, so we had to adjust to practice on the run. So, and frankly, when I put James in the game, and then took him back out. It was more of a reaction to some situational calls that were being that were going to be called that he had not practiced. So I mean, I think everybody runs into that when you, you know, that's part of the platoon system, and that's the challenge of it. And that was our challenge on a number of different, just the different tight ends that we played in the game. So you try to, you know, you try to play this perfect chessboard game, and that's, you know, that's sometimes not the, the best thing to do.
You always talk about your next man up mentality, and I totally understand that and respect that. How much does it impact, though, your approach when you're, I mean, you're without 8 or 9 starters, depending on how you look at it. Do you have to change anything at all, or is it just next man up and we're not altering anything at all?
Well, first of all, I've never tried to measure it. So, I mean, people ask me, well, how does it impact your football team? I've never taken the time to try to, you know, quantify the impact that it is on your team. And I would be wasting our players and coaches' time if I did try to quantify that. So we have a staff meeting every Monday at 10 a.m. We talk about every player that's played in the game, their grades. We get an update from the training room. We start trying to set our board and try to set the 46 for the upcoming week. Now, between Monday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 a.m., it's just going to change. I mean, that's the challenges of game planning Monday and Tuesday, because, you know, sometimes you don't know what that Wednesday morning exam is going to, you know, what's going to come out of it. So that's why you plan for so many different personnel groups throughout all three phases. So my point is, we have an idea of who we're going to be playing with, and we tailor our game plan to our players. Our job as coaches is to put the players in the best position to be successful, and that's the bottom line. So talked a little bit about that as a team. You know, we won 3 games in a row. So we need a better job as coaches teaching and demanding. We don't need to be going backwards. So, and the players need to do a better job of preparing and performing. That's you know, our second quarter of the season's coming to an end. It's very important for us to be 6-3 at the bye, and that's what we're focused on.
So when you view a game like yesterday, where mm-hmm. you probably didn't play as well as you wanted to, does it alter your grading at all when you look at the guys that are playing, or it's?
Well, I mean, the defense played very well. I mean, the grades on the defense were very good. I mean, if you go just through pure wins and losses of the plays in the game, our defense, I think, was 71% win. That's a very high grade. And so the offense did not play very well. So as far as the wins and losses, special teams played very well. No, but there were some, you know, things we could do better. So 2/3 of your football team played pretty good football. So, but hey, I concluded our team meeting today after being direct with the facts of the game, but more importantly, let's quit walking around it like we lost the damn game. So, you know, we're 5-3, whether you like it or not, and we're going to get better, and that's where we're going.
Like, do any of those guys, Kuhn, Perry, or Sam, have any chance this week, or do you just push
them? Depends on who you talk to. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask, because – you know, they're all playing, but the trainers don't feel as good. So we'll see. Really, Wednesday's a big day because they really upped their rehab. They'll do everything they can between today and Wednesday to try to get themselves in a position to go through the testing. So we'll see what happens.
Is Nelson in that same group, Mike?
He worked out before the game yesterday, so he's close. He's getting close, but. You know, we're in uncharted territory for Jordy. Jordy's, you know, he's never experienced a hamstring injury, so we'll see how he is Wednesday.
Mike, have your special teams gotten to the point that they're so good that you only need 10 guys on the field to make big plays?
Well, I see your humor in that, it's not funny. Well, hey, the one was okay because we blocked a punt, but it's not okay. It's a young man, that was. He's tied up with his coach and so forth, and he'll learn from that. And the second time we had 10 men on the field was, you know, the timing, the communication of Mike Neal getting hurt, and you know, the medical staff, and it happens. You don't like it when it happens, but that's what happened on the field goal.
did Aaron get woozy a little bit or have any effects after the strip sack maybe or any other? Or was he okay?
I didn't see that.
Mike, on the fake field goal, fake punt, whatever that was, did Mass Day have the option to call it off or to punt it? Or as you look back at the film, should he have done
I wouldn't want to punt from that formation. I mean, he has a progression, and I think Tim was standing here. He wasn't in line with his progression. So, and you can tell all the opponents, we will not be running that play again this year. So, we were at the yard marker that, you know, we're with the wind, you know, based on your calculations, you go through every game. 35-yard line was right at the point where you make that decision whether to, you know, go for it on fourth down or go with that particular play or take the chance at the long field goal. So I think we're at the 36, 37. And so I thought that was the right time to call it. But the ball wasn't supposed to be thrown where it was thrown.
You were asked a lot about leadership without Woodson last week. Did you see that this week? I guess I was thinking about the players said that they got together at halftime, the defensive guys, talk about stepping the energy up. Is that maybe something along the lines of maybe some leaders stepping up to kind of fill that void?
Well, I mean, you know, leadership is obviously something that I think people like to just throw out there sometimes, and it kind of becomes a blanket that takes care of all the things that maybe not be in line. But, you know, we all have a responsibility to be ready to play. And, you know, saying we didn't have energy and it's something that those words came out of my mouth. But sometimes you're talking to one or two guys and, you know, the other 42 or 43 get kind of lumped into that. And that's not fair. So I felt there were some spots that we didn't play with the energy that was needed in the first half. And that was more towards individuals. But I mean, there's a lot of good football on that film. I know that watching it with all three coordinators today. But, you know, offensively, our technical grade was poor. And that's really where our focus is today after going through the grading.
Mike, something a lot of your guys talked about yesterday regarding injuries was that you know that most, if not all, those guys are going to be back at some point. Is that anything that enters your mentality? And do you talk to them about that? Like, hey, we still got to get the job done because reinforcements are coming? Or doesn't that enter your thought process?
I mean, I appreciate the number of different ways you're asking it, but I don't know why we keep getting the same question here. We don't. I mean, the injuries are that they're part of the game. It's unfortunate on a personal level, but we don't spend time. I don't think I ever even say the word inactive list during the course of the week. It's part of the game. I mean, it's part of your normal process. I mean, there's things that go on in our world, in the game of football, that are just unsaid. I mean, it's just the way you go about your business. I mean, it's what you accept, and it's part of the grind of an NFL season.